a strong jobs report this morning, but some warning signs bear watching. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Today's jobs report looks very good on the surface. The tally of American payrolls in April was 263,000 higher than the month before, that is, higher than expected. The unemployment rate fell to 3.6%, the lowest, one analyst told me today, since Neil Armstrong walked on the moon. Actually, old Neil walked in July of 1969. This is the lowest since December of that year. But this is a jobs report that needs deeper scrutiny. Chris Lowe is the chief economist at FTN Financial.
It's absolutely super news. Being an economist in the markets, though, we tend to look at strength when the economy's at full employment, and it makes us a little nervous. Is this the kind of strength that's going to have the Fed thinking they need to do something to slow the economy down again? You look at the last 3 months, and the average job gain is 169,000. That's modest.
Your folks in the bond market are agreeing with you here. I mean, interest rates are actually slipping this morning, which indicates that they don't think things are overheating. I mean, it's also stuff like the labor force participation rate, the actual pie of the labor force has shrunk somewhat. I think also hours worked are down just a little bit.
With hours worked down a little bit, companies actually throttled back. So they hired a lot of people, but they're not working them as many hours. And that's another reason to think there's no reason to slow down economic activity because it's already happening organically.
Chris Lowe at FTN Financial, the chief economist there. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is pushing to change the way banks report data on who gets mortgages. The original rules were meant to prevent discrimination in lending. The plan now means lenders would have to share less info on just who is getting those loans. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
Banks were first required to report this type of loan information to the federal government back in the 1970s. Banks had to disclose the amount of the loan and the borrower's race, gender, and income. The CFPB proposal would exempt certain small banks from that, banks making fewer than 500 or 100 mortgages per year.
It would be a big, big relief for a lot of community banks.
Ron Haney is with the trade group Independent Community Bankers of America. He says big banks would still be reporting the data, and if banks making fewer than 100 mortgages a year were exempted, we'd still have this data on more than 80% of mortgage applications. But the CFPB is also working on a mandate from Congress to roll back other data requirements from the Obama administration, requiring information on a borrower's age and debt load. Jesse Van Tol heads the National Community Reinvestment Coalition.
Rolling back what data we collect is really hiding evidence of discriminatory and risky lending, particularly by smaller banks and mortgage companies.
Vental says banks making 500 or fewer mortgages per year would be exempted from reporting that data. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Not everyone gets a chance to study the economy in school. Anyway, who doesn't need a brush up? Marketplace helps you continue your education in a way that we hope is smart, accessible, and hopefully even a bit fun. Your donation is not only an investment in your own learning, but also in helping us make more people smart about the economy. And that, we think, is good for everyone. To learn how you can help, visit marketplace.org/investors. Thank you. Women got all the education and skills necessary to compete with men for higher-end careers in, say, law, finance, and consulting, yet something happened that ended up giving a competitive advantage to men. Claire Kane Miller wrote about this in the New York Times the other day. Ms. Miller, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So you call this women did everything right, then work got greedy. I mean, it's greedy about time, isn't it?
A lot of the professions for which you need professional degrees, like law or consulting or banking, require, 60 to 80 hours. But this is really filtered down to all jobs and even hourly jobs, with this on-call software that lets employers bring them in at any time. It's really across the spectrum now.
But your reporting links that phenomenon with gender inequities, women's careers suffering more as the hours get more ridiculous.
So basically what happened is women started getting much more education. They're now more educated than men. They're the most educated that women have ever been in this country, which means that they're more prepared than ever for these big careers. But at exactly the time that women started getting more degrees, work started demanding these longer hours. But the catch is that men and women also started marrying others with the same education. The thing is that if you're parents, you can't be on call at work. You can't be working 60 hours and on call the rest of the time unless someone else is on call at home. And so what's happened is that families of these very educated people are looking almost like families in the 50s, where the woman is the primary caregiver and the man is the primary breadwinner, but it's for entirely 21st century reasons.
And just somehow, the way it works out, it's often the woman who bears the greater responsibility for childcare.
That's right. To be clear, this is a couple's issue. It's not a gender issue. The rewards to long hours are the same for men who do them and women who do them. But 20% of fathers work 50 or more hours in this country right now. 6% of mothers do. Because of a whole lot of cultural norms, it's usually the women who end up scaling back their careers to do more at home.
Some companies are changing. You're trying to limit the after-hours demands.
One thing I thought was most interesting is when you talk to banks or law firms or consulting firms, they say it's impossible for us to do that. But I turned to one profession that also used to think that, which is obstetrics. OBs were sort of the premier FaceTime on-call profession because you never know when a woman's going to go into labor, and they managed to switch it. So OBs now work 8-hour shifts, and they deliver the babies that are born during that shift. And so I think if obstetrics can change it, that maybe a lot more of these firms that think they can't might actually be able to.
Claire Kane Miller, New York Times reporter, her piece, Women Did Everything Right, Then Work Got Greedy. Ms. Miller, thank you so much.
Thank you.
An interview I did with Republican political strategist Frank Luntz years ago always stays with me. Based on his research, Luntz offered up a killer issue to any candidate from any party running for office. Focus on our lack of time and remedies for that. Do this and get elected was his pro tip. What should we do about the time challenges, including all the hours at work? Tweet us at Marketplace. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.